Vav Nisan Siman Kuf Tes Zayin Halacha. We're going to Halacha Yud Aleph. Here we go. We're continuing with the different processes of kashering. As we mentioned, essentially there are three main categories. There's what's called agala, purging, and then you have what's called libun kal and libun chom. Libun kal is reaching it, heating the metal or the utensil to 550 degrees around that, which is the temperature that if you would put a straw or the equivalent today to a tissue, it would singe it. And that's really the whole discussion about stove top grades and the like, which we'll discuss hopefully in today's year. And last, you have what's called Libun Chama, which is around 800 degrees. And that's anything that you use the Chamas directly with. And the fire, you need really proper fire coals and blow torches and get really serious, really burn it out. And there's nafkaminas, by the way, whether you need to wait 24 hours or not. The reason why sometimes you see you have to wait 24 hours, let's say, for kashering an oven. Sometimes you don't, is because it depends on what methodology. If it's Libun Kal, it's similar to Hagala, therefore you wait 24 hours, Chatchila. And Libun Gomel is where it's, you don't have to wait 24 hours, because as the moisture rises beautifully in the Shtuvah, you're actually burning out, you're not purging. Okay, let's continue now with the Kitzer's discussion about utensils that have a patch. This is an unusual thing. We don't have these things today, because how many times did you have a utensil that had a hole or broke and this and that and used a patch? What's the concern that maybe behind the patch is chametz? So we know there's chametz there, or there was some, maybe there's concern with chametz. And in order to get there, to kasher, it's not so simple. You can't just say kabbalah kapota, the way you use it, the way, because maybe you used it and then you put the patch. So the halacha is that in these types of areas where you can't get, you should use some form of libun kal, maybe putting some coals in order to make sure to burn. There's another way, actually, that if they pour some molten tin or silver or the like in order to fix it, so that also obviously will burn out the chametz. Okay, that's not such a common question, but the applications are interesting. There's another, I would say, not so common question, but today's application would probably be a mixer, as we'll see. The kids are discussing a medoicha. What's a medoicha? Is a mortar. Mortar is something that used to use to crush and ground different garlics and different substances. So what's the problem there? The concern there is that you might have also chametz, and maybe you crushed chametz together with it, and therefore, in order to kosher it, you need to do what's called libun kal. And libun kal means you fill up the coals, like we said, bring it to a heat where if you would put some type of singe, I mean, if you put some type of a straw or a tissue, it would singe it. Okay, so again, here too, we're discussing the concept of agala on something, or Limun Kal, on something that really is only a chashash concern. But that's the way it is. When it comes to chametz, we're much more machmir. And even if there's a slight concern that it was, that maybe chametz came in contact with it. And even though this is used as cold, there's no heat, you're not cooking anything, it doesn't matter. There's a power of grinding something in a mortar that infuses the taste of chametz into the actual walls. And therefore, in order to kasher it, you need to use some form of either purging wool, like here we see, you need to use libun kal. Next halacha is utensils that you keep yain sabaf, which is types of schnapps. Someone just asked me, actually, when he has molten beer, he's making beer in his home. That so the utensils that are holding, usually these are types of different caskets, and these containers absorb and the smell of the schnapps. You know, that's where they have some of these sherry caskets that they make schnapps out of, and there's a whole question if you're allowed to use them because sherry's wine, and the wine might be a stam yena. But the bottom line is, in order to get rid of the smell, there's like two steps. You first have to like burn it with some type of aphel is ashes, some type of a cleanser that would move first of all the smell, and then you'd have to make sure to kosher it through using hagala. So again, here's another example. These are all exceptions of where you're not using something with heat, and yet you still need to do purging. That really shows us how deep and how sometimes, even though we would think it's counterintuitive. What do you mean? I never used hot. I never used something boiling hot. Doesn't matter. There are other ways, Chazal taught us, that things could be absorbed. Next, when it comes to agolas, the purging of this type of barrel that we're discussing, so there's a way of doing so by being melaben avon, I mean heating up rocks, stones, putting them inside, and then pouring boiling water from a clear ration, basically, and then rolling the this vat and this container. So this way the agala is going to get to every spot. Now what we learn from here is another application. Like I said, these things you have to learn how, you have to know how to apply. That's where there's a big controversy today in the different kasher agencies and sees the different arguments how to kasher things. So for example, some people kasher the countertops and also the sinks with this even melubenis, this heated up stone, because what it does is it increases the heat. I mentioned that actually the Star K came out with a good spritzer. It works for, let's say, countertops and sinks and different things where you need to pour hot water. So, you know, it's very difficult sometimes. You heat up the water and how to pour the water and get it in every spot. It's very complicated. So this is actually a great thing. And I was actually thinking of maybe purchasing it. It could be a tremendous chesed for people. It reaches 212 degrees. So it's really very halachically equal to and probably even much more conducive to being to accomplishing covering all the areas. Otherwise, you have to use a kumkum. That's the easiest way to do it, the Israeli kumkums, or you heat up water and then you have to go around and it can get very messy and ruin a lot of different things on the floors. And that's why a lot of people don't like doing that, but rather they cover it with a good covering, tin foil or the like, or beautiful types of plastic, and making sure that it looks nice for a yontif. When it comes to things that our color is required, so the kitzer says you can't use what's called klipa. Klipa means to peel the initial layer. That's not good enough. It goes much thicker into the utensils, which again is an interesting topic. How do we know how deep it goes? Chazal felt that it goes to a certain depth. When it comes to certain utensils that are just difficult to clean, like sieves and baskets that you use chametz or ribeyes in, the famous ribeyes, which is a grater. These are things that are either they're very narrow, they're very difficult to clean out. Then someone, I saw also the gabi mixers. Some of them use mixers. If you use mixers for non-chametz, so it's really pretty easy to clean and kasher. And if you washed it with chametz, so you have to do agala. But sometimes these are types of things that are used solely for dough and mixing different doughs. So these type of utensils were more stringent, and especially if they have crevices, best not to use them. And then the kids discuss is what's called the tevois. The tevois are these bins which foods are contained and throughout the year, and sometimes things spill out, the food spills out of them, and therefore they require what's called irui for mayim roischim. And this is, by the way, opens up the, so to speak, the door to why is it that countertops, why would I have to kosher countertops? So first of all, if you're a Sephardi, you don't, because by Sephardim they go on based on Roif Tashmisha. What do you usually majority time use it for? If it's not used majority time for placing hot food or pouring hot food or spilling hot food there, then it's not a problem. You don't have to kosher it at all. But by the way, I saw that Ramot Chaliyah, even there, is a little bit like Mola Ashkenazim, which we find many times. And Ashkenazim take a little bit more machmir, and they say, no, even Miyot Tashmisha, even if it sometimes happens, it's enough already to treat it like this hot chametz, and if you have to kasher. So this is a big debate when it comes to the countertops. And then, of course, you get into the different types of countertops, the quartz, and can you kasher the quartz? And that's even though you, in truth, the whole question is the stuff in the Rabbanan. Nevertheless, there's major disputes, and you have to ask a shayla. Okay, and then, like I mentioned, based on all this, you understand why they use stones in the sink and on the countertops in order to create a high level of heat. Now, also we see is that even the tables, the kids are discusses, that you have to kasher. So again, this might be because they used to bring pots to the table and they're very hot, shulin would spill on the table. Today it's very unlikely, and usually you have tablecloths, so it's really no reason to pour boiling water on tables. And even when you do so, the kids even goes on to discuss whether you should cover it or not. I think Mishra Brosa says that once you have something kosher, you do not need to cover it. It might be a nice thing, it's a hiddle, but there's no obligation to do so. And next, the kids discuss is yada sakelim, the handles. Interesting, why do you have to kosher the handles? So you would think it's also because when you cook, so maybe the heat goes to the handles too, right? Chametos cham kula, the extension. But I think the Mishnah explains that through here, the concern really is that you're simply touching it with the hands of the chametz. If you ended up having these yodis, the handles actually going to boiling hot, then you have to kasher it mikra adin. Now, otherwise, you just could pour hot water, which is what the kitzur suggests. When it comes to types of glass, cups and drinks, utensils they're using for drinks, and even this includes also types of the kids are discussing is glassware. So it's interesting. When it comes to glassware, throughout the year, There's a major debate if you need to kasher even glass widow by Sfaradim, the more makel, and even Ashkenazim. There are many opinions that hold that you could be used from fleishiks and milchiks interchangeably. But when it comes to chametz, meaning when it comes to Pesach, we are more stringent. And as the kiddush says, klesuchis haminig is not to do agala. But like I said, there could be situations where there's room to be lean, especially when it's used for a year, and that you should ask a shayla. And the kit also discusses these types of clay mateches, these metal utensils that are coated inside with a coating of molten glass, which is basically enamel and the equivalent. So these are also types of glazed and different things that are difficult to kasher halachically. Lastly, and I remember this in my own experience, you only really learn something when you do something yourself. And I was years ago, it goes back 30 years ago, I was in the old age home of Riverdale, the gym, and I had to kasher all the utensils there. Somehow I got the job with another person, another Rav actually. He was a chashev Rav today. And we were there, and Mamash, it looked like we didn't know what hit us. So one of the eights were because the utensils were so dirty that we would use like a pigum, something that gives a negative taste. So that would facilitate at least the kashrus. The problem is, like it just says, in Megillah, in the mind, you only use water, you can't mix anything in, even Eifer, which is a type of cleanse. And if you did, so this is really, but the evidence, okay. But once it changes color, like tzir, which means that basically it looks like brine and murky like brine, you cannot use that water anymore. You have to change the water. That is the halacha. The kids, it teaches us. Have a beautiful day.